just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from ACS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
People of Earth, it's time for another installment of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month, we got things that will take care of your body, soul, and scrotum. Like a sample pack of Tame the Beast Nut Butter, a blend with Tuck Everlasting anti-aging and anti-chafing ingredients that will keep your sack high and tight. We've also got the great Dano's Seasoning, who will make each and every kind of meat taste even better, whether it's beef, pork, or your fellow man. Dano's is low sodium and no sugar, so even Vinny will approve. We've also got Nude Mints to not only freshen your breath, but your gut biome too. These incredible products and a bottle of your choice can be found at CorollaDrinks.com for only $25. So prep your mailbox. A new month of Adam's Monthly Nut has arrived.
This is Corolla Digital. This is Reasonable Doubt with your hosts, Mark Garagus and Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a choice with the government mandate. Get it on. Welcome to the best hour or so in the universe. I'm Adam Carolla. Mark Hardout Garagus in studio.
Do you know why?
Hmm.
I'm here because of COVID.
Yeah.
Do you want the explanation? There is, in fact, I was going to talk about irony of all ironies. I started a trial this week, and we're doing this. Well, I don't even remember what day we are, but I started the trial this week in the Stanley Mosque Civil Courthouse, which is the courthouse downtown. And we had put it over for a week. I was toying with the idea of challenging even though the county has not done a COVID mask order, internally, the court has done a mask order, but not for everyone. I don't have to wear a mask as a lawyer. The judge, the court personnel, and the jurors all have to wear masks.
Do they have to wear an N95?
No, it's complete theater.
Right.
So there is an internal order. I was going to challenge it, but since I figured I'll just talk to the jurors about it. So I pick a jury on Tuesday and Wednesday. Today, if you're listening to this later, is Thursday. And on Tuesday, I tell the jurors, you know, don't worry about me. I'm not using a mask, and I test with great frequency. And I know you're using a mask, but that's some double secret probation that the county judge is on. Mm-hmm. And it's not everywhere in the county. It's just here. Anyway, we pick the jury. You can't understand anything. The people who are English challenged to begin with as jurors, when you put a mask on them, and you might as well just get...
I in our neighborhood, I went to go vote on the Newsom recall election several months ago. I went to the little library area that was
by Lanterman across the street,
across from the tennis academy and above from the school. And there was a very elderly woman who a lot of time the volunteers are elderly women, and she's working behind the thing. She's double masked. She's elderly. She's frail. And we got the piece of plexi hanging in front of us, and I'm asking her, like, what the protocol here is, not for COVID, but, like, do I get the thing, and then I go to the booth, and she's like, she sounds like Charlie Brown's. So now we found ourselves pulling the plexiglass to one side or talking in between the two hanging pieces of plexiglass. Just the science behind the hanging this sheet a plexiglass from fishing rods with the 5-inch gap at the bottom and the 7-inch gap on the side where the other one comes in and the 28-inch gap at the top. And I'm trying to talk to her through this piece of fucking Lexan, and I can't understand a goddamn word she's saying.
So imagine picking a jury in this situation. So we pick it. I maybe understand 40% of what's being said in the courtroom.
Right.
They understand me because I don't have a mask on. We come in yesterday. Judge says, we got a problem. I said, well, Judge, let's wait for opposing counsel from the city attorney's office. He says, he's on the phone. And I said, it's kind of weird. The judge comes out. He's masked up. I can understand about 90% of what he says. He's good. He articulates. And he announces that two jurors have contracted COVID and are COVID positive. Mm-hmm. I said, which one? And he tells me, it's the juror right behind me, literally three feet behind me. She's got COVID. I'd mention her name because it's funny, but I won't. Then I said, well, where's opposing counsel so we can discuss it? He voice rings out on the phone. Well, my two witnesses, one has got a temperature of 103. The other was exposed, and I hugged both witnesses and said, well, now I'm exposed.
Right.
So they're all quarantined, and the other guy's positive, and witnesses are positive. So this is wonderful. We're in the civil courthouse where I was contemplating challenging, and in the past I've challenged the COVID regulations, and they've now got a double secret COVID protocol. However, this courthouse is ground zero for COVID spread in the county. And is anybody doing anything? No. This is the one place that was probably built in the 50s with the most horrific air HVAC system that doesn't, you know, probably is a disaster. It's COVID outbreaks. And when I asked, why is this the only courthouse that's got the masking rule and the county isn't? And they said, we have a high incidence of COVID. Have you heard about it? No. You don't hear about it. They keep bringing people in, bringing people out, and they wonder why the numbers are high.
So that case is moving ahead.
No. We mistried it. So there is no – I have to now go back in 2 weeks, and we wasted an entire day and a half with witnesses, the jurors, the whole bit, all because – and by the way, that masking really worked well, didn't it?
So effective.
It was so effective, right? Jeez. It's just – it's stunning to me how ridiculous we have become. And here you are in the courthouse where you would challenge the rules, and it's upside down world itself.
Well, the masks are sort of symbolic in a weird way for what LA and California have become, just some sort of non-factually based, essentially just the projection of who I am, or, you know, it's basically the LA, if you go to the Whole Foods on the west side in Santa Monica, you will see plenty of Priuses with a coexist bumper sticker. Does that person ever go into the hot zones where people don't actually coexist? I mean, they have the Israeli star, and they have the Muslim whatever, and it's like, but do you ever experience that on the west side at the Whole Foods? And the answer is no. It's simply a projection. It's virtue signaling. So we like our signals over here. I mean, I've passed the houses that have, we don't do hate, we do love, we don't judge, we hug, we love black
as
lives.
As they're complaining about you doing whatever it is you're doing.
We're very symbolic. I mean, maybe it's a Hollywood thing. I don't know, but we're very wrapped up in symbolism
here in
California. And so we lead the world in mask wearing, even though far as I can tell, mask is, they're not effective unless you're wearing a properly fitted N95 one, and no one is wearing that.
Right, and they only work for you.
And everyone gets it anyway. Everyone gets it anyway. Joe Biden's got it twice. Everyone but me probably has gotten it. Did you get it?
I got it one time.
And natural immunity, which remember when Fauci didn't have thoughts about unnatural immunity? He didn't know anything about it? Well, it turns out that's better than the jab.
It's unbelievable. Hold on. I'm going to do a little. We're going to earn our keep with, by the way, Audible, as I'm looking at your book here, with my schedule and Adam's. I don't have time to do the things I want, especially reading. That's why, and by the way, I read all day, but that's why I love Audible. Incredible selection of audiobooks in every genre. Bestsellers, new releases, celebrity memoirs. You haven't written a celebrity memoir.
No.
I mean, everything reminds me of something I wouldn't call a celebrity memoir.
No, but it's eight hours and 34 minutes and, audio.
Yeah, mysteries, thrillers. You give us wellness, motivation, business, and more. That's kind of your the shtick.
Yeah.
Discover exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, a.k.a.s, renowned experts, a.k.a.s, and exciting new voices and audios, say Gary. Audible members can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible, by the way, I got a Mistrial, which is also the name of the book,
yeah.
Mistrial, by the awesome Dawson.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Gary?
Absolutely. Let Audible help you discover new ways to laugh, be inspired, or be entertained. New members can try it free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/RD or text RD to 500-500. That's audible.com/RD or text RD to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days. audible.com/RD.
Yeah, so moving from that, which the week was basically wasted because of that, now what a lot of people are talking about today as we are recording this is Merrick Garland, who is the attorney general, who was the appointee who never got confirmed for the U.S. Supreme Court, gave a press conference today because Donald Trump in Mar-a-Lago was the subject of a search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's talked about that. I just want to clarify a couple of things because I see so many things that are blatantly wrong that on reporting. First of all, when a search warrant is executed, there's basically three components to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have the warrant itself, which is generally not very long. The warrant is you can go execute this. It's usually it's signed by a judge. If it's in the federal court, it's generally what's called a magistrate judge, the equivalent of a federal commissioner. And it just says, do it. You can do this. You've got to execute this search warrant, usually by a certain date. Gives you a certain time. You can either do nighttime, not nighttime, and the location and what you can search for. So it's basically an order, and it's basically a form. Then you have what's called the affidavit. The affidavit is generally whoever is seeking the search warrant swears under penalty of perjury. Very detailed, first their background, saying I've been doing this for 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. I was trained here. I've testified here. I'm an expert in this. And then sets out the facts of why you need a search warrant, why you can't do something else. And that is generally under seal. And when they serve the search warrant, that is not left there. The search warrant itself can be handed to the person at the location, or you can show it to them and then take it back. Then the third component is, once I've searched your place, I will do a receipt. And the receipt will say, I took this, I took that, I took the other things. So those are the three components. The only thing that Trump or his lawyers would have at Mar-a-Lago would be the warrant, which doesn't tell you squat, and presumably the receipt, which would tell you what they took. But remember, that receipts can say 15 boxes miscellaneous records.
Right.
It could say classified documents. It could say drugs found in safe. It could say or whatever. It could say currency, but doesn't sound like they did that. But it's not going to give you a whole lot of guidance because generally it will say miscellaneous papers, floppy disk, this or that or the other thing. So after that happens, Trump issued his statement confirming there was a warrant. And there was then, you know, it suggested maybe they planted stuff, which is not uncommon for people who get a search. Worried that, hey, I want to monitor this because otherwise somebody might accuse me of having something I didn't have.
Right.
Which is generally why you would like law enforcement to have a videotape as they're doing the search.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more common in the state than in the feds. Well, then there's been a hue and cry from people saying, for my side of the aisle, I know people get upset when I say that, but Democrats have been saying, well, release it, not understanding that the affidavit is under seal.
Releasing the affidavit.
Release it. He doesn't have the affidavit. It's kept under seal. Generally, what the argument is
Trump doesn't have the affidavit.
He doesn't have the affidavit.
But Garland does.
Garland has got it.
Right.
Prosecution's always got it. And the prosecution has got the receipt. Mm-hmm. And many times they've got a certain time limit where they have to file the receipt in terms of giving it back to the court, because technically the court is the one who ordered the search,
mm-hmm.
even though that's generally just as a proxy for the prosecution.
Mm-hmm.
That's my editorial comment. So hue and cry, release the warrant. Trump, on the other hand, and a lot of other people are saying, well, maybe they planted something, this or that. Today, Merrick Garland has a press conference and says, Gary's got it. I thought it was interesting because there's a little chess moves going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Garland responds by having a press conference and saying, very unusual. This is highly unusual for people who say it's once in a million, never before that he would execute a search warrant on a president. Totally agree. Also, you could make the argument that it's unprecedented that they do a search warrant on this specific basis if it's classified documents. Do you have the search warrant and the language? Garland did. Gary could
and
talk.
Gary or Emmy, you can look for because it's just bouncing around my head. I think Chuck Schumer, when he was on maybe Rachel Maddow's show, maybe in like 2016, he basically just said, hey, Trump, you're fucking with the FBI. They will fuck with you. Like, do not get in these people's grill. He has no idea what he's doing. He's literally just saying they have 100 ways to ruin your life, and they will. I have no idea why Trump is running afoul of these people. If it's oppression. Yes.
All right. He said, quote, in these circumstances involving a search of the residence of a former president, the government hereby requests that the court unseal the notice of filing and its attachments, docket entry 17, absent objection by former President Trump.
So this is the third letter. This is what he's doing. He's saying, okay, I'll call you. I'll do something. Because my guess is most of the people who are saying release the affidavit figured it's never going to happen because the government always gets that request from defense lawyers, and they always say it's a continuing investigation. We can't compromise the investigation.
Right.
He's now said, okay, I'm going to reveal it unless you've got an objection. Mm-hmm. So I made my move. Trump, it's up to you.
Right. And what's on the affidavit is the long part about why they're doing it versus the shopping list of what they got versus correct. The actual warrant itself. Where do you come down on every progressive person keeps saying, don't call it a raid. It's not a raid.
Okay. That's the only people who would say that are people who've never seen what happens when they execute a search warrant.
But
if you say it's not a raid, okay, I don't know what word you use for they come in and it's like it's all hell breaks loose and you can't watch.
But weren't the exact same people 1 week earlier saying two quarters consecutively of
certain economic inflation, indicators are not a recession.
Not a recession.
Yeah.
You guys are using recession the wrong way.
Right. Right.
We've redefined recession and raid, or you just redefined raid and recession in the last 14 days?
I just can hardly wait to see this affidavit, hardly wait to see whether Trump has an objection. I will tell you.
Now, what's Garland doing?
He's basically saying, oh, really? Be careful what you wish for.
What's on there that
there would have to be some compelling reason for a federal judge to sign off on what has never been done in the Republic, which is a search warrant at the House of a once and potentially future president.
What is – speaking of this judge, I've said the Los Angeles Times endorsing Gavin Newsom is stupid because now I don't believe any stories you have about Larry Elder, whoever's running against Gavin Newsom, because you've endorsed –
right, you've revealed your bias.
I got two kids. What if I just endorsed my son? And then I said, who spilt this chocolate milk? And you couldn't have done it. Have endorsed him. You know, it's a dumb thing to do. they always dig up these judges and they go, oh, he's an Obama donor. He donated to the Obama campaign. And I'm like, as a newspaper or a judge, why would you do that? Even if you gave $10. Now, maybe you want Obama to give you the nod for some other position, and that's probably the strategy behind it. But don't you think in general just be a bad idea as a judge to endorse a president or a candidate or an anything, just like it's kind of dumb for the Times to do it? Because now everyone on the other side goes, oh, of course. He endorsed Obama. Of course he's got it out for Trump.
My guess is, and I haven't looked into this, it's a great question. My guess is he did it when he was a lawyer.
Uh-huh.
And because I think there are judicial canons against doing that unless it's in a judicial race.
Hmm.
But, you know, I,
or
that
he,
could
I
just
know,
be
he
safe.
Contributed to the Obama campaign well, the, or whatever
right.
it is. So
the other
maybe he did that as a lawyer.
As a lawyer,
and
exactly.
not as a judge.
And remember, for the federal judiciary, the people who really – it's always a presidential appointment, but it really is determined by who your U.S. senator is.
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. senator in your state carries all the weight in terms of who becomes a federal judge. So if you have judicial ambitions, being a contributor or getting on the radar of your local U.S. senator is generally thought of as the way to get a judicial appointment.
So if you turned on Rachel Maddow the night of the raid, she was saying they, you know, they wouldn't issue this unless it was something important. If you went over and watched Fox, they would say this is a travesty. Here we go again, the FBI singling out citizens and being weaponized and politicized. So where do you land on this?
My immediate guess, and I'm anxious to see the affidavit if it gets released. I'm not so sure Trump's lawyers agree to the release of the affidavit. I'll mm-hmm. get to that in a sec. And I think that's why Garland said absent in his application, which he filed with the court today, he said, we have no objection absent an objection from President Trump. Why do I say that? Well, Trump finally in a proceeding, a civil proceeding, invoked the Fifth some 400 right. some odd times. So he's listening to his lawyers. And if I were representing him, unless I saw that affidavit first, I wouldn't say willy-nilly unseal it. God knows what's in it.
Could you see it first?
Maybe. Potentially, I could ask the court, and I think my response would be I want to see it in camera first. I don't know what kind of garbage is in
there.
But
this is like if you had dominion over Alec Baldwin, you just go, no interviews. And then he'd go, no, I'm going to sit down and straighten this out. And you'd go, don't do it.
Yeah.
Right? So lawyers are, you know, less is more.
Right.
And so what Rachel Maddow will do is she goes, what's Trump afraid of?
Right.
But it probably is counsel just saying.
Yeah, it's always counsel because why give them something? Also, remember, that affidavit is not subject to cross-examination. It's
right.
just like a grand jury. You go into a judge. You're the prosecutor.
So it's going to say it's got the Russian pee-pee tape in the safe. And then that'll just be it.
Right.
And you won't be able to go, who's verified that, who's seen it, blah,
my
blah, blah.
Suspicion as to what it is that it has nothing to do with, I could be wrong, and I'll wait to see, that it doesn't have anything to do with what everybody is speculating on, that it has more to do with certain documents which were taken out of the White House, which were classified, which they then did a grand jury subpoena based on the National Archives saying we want him back, him saying, hey, I've got him secured, and I was the president. And by the way, who do you think classifies and declassifies documents?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the FBI. It's the president.
Right.
And so why? And they decided there was something in those classified documents that they wanted. They had issued a grand jury subpoena. Their lawyers said, made some argument that said, no, you don't, and had a and what should have been done, in my humble opinion, we'll wait and see what the affidavit says, they should have teed that up for a federal judge, not by way of a search warrant, but said, here's the issue, Your Honor. You decide. We think that there is a position that the president could lawfully withhold these documents because he is the president, was the president, may be the president again, you decide that's what the separation of powers is.
Yeah, and I'll tell you the bigger picture problem that's a little less in the weeds legally, but more just a sort of an emotional problem. When you then turn on CNN that night and you see McCabe up there talking about, hey, they don't issue warrants unless it's something that's really serious. I'm like, aren't you the guy who was telling me the Hunter Biden laptop was a hoax 10 minutes ago?
Aren't you the guy who was suspended by your inspector general? Aren't you the who recommended that you be fired when you were at the FBI? And they'll put that person up. They'll also put up, the Fox does the same thing with guys who have been discredited. It's like a battle of guys who've been discredited.
Well, we have the Schumer. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's an eerie harbinger. He's on Rachel Maddow, January 2017. So I guess Trump's in office. And soon to be in office. Sorry, January 3rd. 2017.
He goes in January 20th.
Okay. Anyway, here it is.
Let me ask you, I don't know if you have seen this. I don't want to blindside you with this. This is the latest statement, latest tweet, as you were just saying. The president-elect's latest yeah. unsolicited pronouncement on the intelligence community. This was his tweet just a little while ago tonight. You see the scare quotes there. The intelligence briefing on so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps more time needed to build a case. Very strange. We're actually told, intelligence sources tell NBC News since this tweet has been posted, that actually this intelligence briefing for the president-elect was always planned for Friday. It hasn't been delayed. Look. But he's taking these shots, this antagonism, this taunting to the intelligence community.
You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
Should you be saying that stuff out loud?
He actually was very close to Trump.
He was.
Yeah. He was. Well, remember, Trump was a Clinton donor. Mm-hmm. Trump has golfed with Clinton. Schumer, as the senior senator, I don't think he was at the time. It might have been D'Amato, but in New York, Trump had to deal with him. They knew each other. They remember Trump's sister was appointed federal judge at a certain point, even though I think she was the next state over. But these two would know each other, would travel, I'm sure, in the same circles. And he probably was probably – Schumer was probably at that point, it was the very beginning of the administration or about to be sworn in, probably saying, dude, I've been around Washington for a while. This is the last place you want to go.
Yeah, the ominous part is they'll get you. Like it's and that's what it's felt like. If you're an observer, it just looks like they're going after Trump. It's a never ending. We're going after Trump, and what Schumer's saying is not you better be accurate and have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. He's just going, you talk shit, they're going to make you miserable.
He really kind of, as you say, he said the quiet part out loud.
That's really what that what that was.
It's exactly right. It's wild. I'd forgotten about that, but I remember in real time thinking the same thing. By the way,
that was Trump at the very beginning of Russian collusion saying this is bullshit. So was Rachel, was Schumer, who was McCabe, who turned out to be correct in that scenario?
Comey.
And I mean, what they're doing, the problem is they're getting into this abyss where they could find a body in Melania's closet and Trump would go, are you guys kidding me?
Well,
they planted the body. He would check the record. They've been after me for 5 years.
And he said it. I could shoot somebody or kill somebody on Fifth Avenue and I wouldn't lose any support.
Well, he...
And it's become a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Whatever the FBI finds, he and his supporters are going to go, oh, bullshit. They planted that now. And now we're back to this weird world where he has been. They're kind of turning him into the world's weirdest martyr in his own way. Martyrs are usually thinner. And they play significantly less golf. like, you don't hear about the golfing martyrs. You,
and
you know
they
what
generally
I mean?
Don't have as many resorts to go to.
And they don't have airplanes. Like, Gandhi didn't have a jet with his name on it. He had it. I'm assuming he had a jet, but
there's nothing wrong with a good
oh,
jet.
Sorry.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
So, let's not go down the jet route.
Right.
Okay,
we're going down that runway, and we're running out of room. But you don't see heavy set golfing martyrs, but they're doing it.
It's a whole new. We've entered a whole new world.
All right. Well, let me tell you about American Hartford Gold. Inflation at a 40-year high, or as I keep saying, we can just say. Not as high as the year Adam left high school and was jobless and rudderless. Interest rates skyrocketing. Experts like J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon predict a recession using terms like economic hurricane. Protect your future. Do what I did. Give them a call. American Hartford Gold. They'll help you protect your savings and retirement by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. One short phone call, and they'll have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. Highest rated firm in the country, A-plus rating from the Triple B. Thousands of satisfied customers. Give them a call right now, and you do that, and you can get up to $1,500 in free silver on your first order. Right, Gary?
Call 866-828-8992. That's 866-828-8992. Or text DOUBT to 998899. Again, that's 866-828-8992. Or text DOUBT to 998899.
So what's your prediction? Do you think he... I lean towards he's going to say, no, I don't want a release, or I want a hearing and I want to preview it before he just agrees to having it come out.
Yeah, I think the fact that he pled the fifth, and he's never pled the fifth ever in any arena at all ever, means he's listening to his counsel.
I think so, too.
Like you said,
yeah,
because that's on the advice of counsel.
Correct.
And it is literally a exercise in are you listening to your counsel or not, because they're saying don't answer, and he's not answering, which means you're – practically and exclusively listening to your counsel. So now that he's gone down the road of listening to his counsel, I would say he will listen to his counsel on this one. And I'm with you. I don't think they're going to advise him to release anything, especially especially since with him, everything is red meat to the press. You know what I mean? So it's like, he talked to Putin about putting a bounty on soldiers. He peed on the grave of the unknown soldiers. Like, they will take anything and just sprint with it. And it's pretty effective. Like, it gets into the zeitgeist, and then people go, oh, yeah, that guy. He said there was bounty. There was a bounty on the head of a U.S. soldier, and he thought that was funny. You know, whatever. It's hard. You can disprove it, but once it's in – once it's in the zeitgeist, it's hard to walk it back. So I would go no.
Right, and I don't know how, if you're his lawyer, that you advise him. Although I'll temper what I was going to say. How do you advise him to have that release before you've previewed it? The only thing I can think of is that potentially the lawyers could know exactly what it is that they were looking for, that they were objecting to by way of a subpoena. So you would think that the lawyers would know, well, it's these documents that I call bullshit on this, let it out, because then when people see what it is, they're going to say, oh, that's ridiculous. They never should have executed a search warrant. They should have gone to compel the subpoena. Or, on the other hand, you could argue Trump should have said, I'm going to move to quash the subpoena.
Yeah, you always hear them saying, like you do in so many of these cases, like we've talked about so many times, where you go, why couldn't they have just reached out to his representation, called him in, had a meeting, and done whatever? Why did we need to arrest the guy at the airport? Why do we need to go to Lori Loughlin's
Peter
house?
Peter Navarro, we got to pull him off a plane at the airport.
Yeah, or, oh, God.
Although it's kind of like payback for Rudy Giuliani, who made his career off of perp walking guys out of the stock exchange.
Yeah, or what's his name in the pre-dawn raid at his house?
Roger Stone.
Stone with the CNN cameras rolling.
Right, like, they had the press was already alerted before he could even get his PJs on.
Yeah, I mean, the bigger picture is I think the FBI has – declared a major. They've done sort of what the Times did with Gavin Newsom. I would not read anything about Gavin Newsom's opponents or Gavin Newsom from the LA Times. The FBI has a rich history of hating Trump. They've done many things that are very partisan. And so whether this is real or not real, everyone is rolling their eyes and has one eyebrow, one dubious eyebrow raised, because they're just going, oh, come on. Really? Yeah. So this is now we've impeached him twice. Russiagate was 3 years, and now we got to go get his shit from his house. Like, that's what people are saying. Half the country is saying that.
The election is November, whatever, the first Tuesday, right?
Midterms?
Yeah, the midterms. Yeah. So there is a department.
Eighth.
And this search warrant was executed when?
Would have been what, August?
It was on like the anniversary of Nixon resigning.
I want to say the 8th.
It might have been the 8th. I'm old enough to remember that there was a Department of Justice policy that said you don't interfere with the election within 90 days. There was like a 90 days window. Wasn't this the 90th day?
Yep.
So where are we there, and why didn't somebody ask that question today in the press conference? Or why didn't somebody say, well, wait a second, there's a longstanding policy which you've acknowledged that says you don't do anything coming up into the election?
Yeah.
Doesn't that give you some pause? I mean, you've heard that.
Well, yeah, I have from you, actually. And I think they would say, well, he's not running for anything. He's just endorsing people that are running for things, you know. But it's an election. He's a big part of it, whether he's physically on the ballot or not.
He is the embodiment of the Republican Party right now, which everybody would concede, both Republicans and Democrats. You're exactly 90 days out from the election. You're exactly how many years after Richard Nixon resigned? I forget what the anniversary. I mean, you really, of all my favorite game with you is saying out of 365 days in a year, this is the day you pick to do it. I mean, is that a coincidence?
So did they get in just outside of the 90? 48 years.
48 years, I believe.
So to the day, right?
To the day, August 8th.
Yeah, to the day. Seriously? That's what you're going to do? And I mean, talk about symbolic. And isn't it exactly 90 days out?
Yep.
I don't understand. I don't understand the policy. I don't understand why somebody doesn't follow up on this. I have seen people talk about the anniversary of Nixon resigning, but I'm kind of more fixated on why on 90 days before the election, if that is quote-unquote longstanding DOJ policy.
Well, now you get into this deep state conspiracy theory stuff, which sounded insane to me a few years ago. But I'm like, there's Washington, there's a status quo, there's a part like we discussed with the patent trolls and stuff, where it's like you got the patent trolls, you have the judges, and they all end up at the same country club playing squash on a Sunday. You know, you think it's the Hatfields and the McCoys, but it's not. It's really, there's one guy littering at the park, and another guy gets paid to clean up the litter, and he needs the guy to keep littering at the park, you know?
I used to say that about asset forfeiture, that the war on drugs, that because there was such a – we've talked about this for years – that because there was such an incentive for the cops on the drug trade, because they would get to forfeit the assets, the last thing they wanted was to take the money out of the equation. Because you take the money out of the equation and stop the drugs, then how are you going to forfeit and get all your toys and the cash?
So the deep state theory, loosely, is basically Trump is sort of an outsider. And it's not even a right or left. It's a status quo argument where it's just business as usual.
Fact, the conspiracy is that it isn't either party, that both parties are
right. Co-opted. And then he's going to come in as an outsider, and he's going to clean up the swamp and clean up the FBI. And so everyone kind of gets together who lives, plays, works in the swamp and says, we don't need this outside sheriff coming in and changing things up. So whether it's COVID related or Hunter Biden laptop related or Mar-a-Lago related, let's just keep this guy from getting back his hands on the reins and steering us a direction we don't want to go. And that's basically the deep state theory. which sounded pretty insane X amount of years ago. But if you really start getting into the nuts and bolts of, you know, Russiagate and how many people and FISA warrants and how many people did what, and you kind of go, Jan, that sounds like some insider trading going on. Like it
there's, and it does happen on both sides. I mean, I find it funny now, funny, ironic, I suppose, that the same people who were slamming defund the police now want to defund the national police, which is the FBI. And it's kind of what we are, kind of a theme of Reasonable Doubt, which is be careful what you wish for, because when you're not, you know, the guy with your foot on the neck, you know, when the guy who's got the foot on the neck is around, he's going to use the same technique you're doing.
Well, do you want to talk about, there's Alex Berenson, who I guess settled up with Twitter.
I really do.
There's also a case from our neighborhood.
But first, I want to do Geico.
Now,
wait, were you here last time that I mentioned that Geico is misspelled?
No, on our copy.
On our copy.
Not on their logo.
Gary's giving me a dirty look. Yeah. Mm. It's, by the way, G-E-I-C-O. I before E, except after.
See?
Yeah. Do you even own or rent your home? Sure you do. Can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners, your renters, or your auto. By the way, if you bundle all three of these together, it's a good thing because you already have so much to do around your home. Why would you not want to bundle all these things together? So go to geico.com, G-E-I-C-O.com. Get a quote. See how much you could save. It's Geico, G-E-I-C-O, easy. Visit Geico, G-E-I-C-O.com today. That's Geico. G-E-I-C-O.
And right. Bingo was his name.
Boy, Gary is going to... But you know what Gary and Geico share? They both start with G.
That's alliteration.
Yep, isn't
so,
it?
So, Berenson and or regional.
Do we... We're going to have to hit both of these quick because, you know, I've got a hard out. So.
Yeah.
Berenson is interesting. And I just saw it today. Did you see it?
Drew was talking to me about it.
So this is a guy, we've talked about him before, reporter of, and by the way, at one point, very highly regarded, till he crossed the Rubicon of orthodoxy.
He got Dershowitzed.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny you say that because I was going to head there. What has happened to him is what happened to Alan.
Right.
The same thing. I saw Alan either last night or the night before commenting on the Trump thing. And he was making valid legal observations, just saying the history of this code, there has never been a Fourth Amendment, meaning search warrant, that has been executed based upon this. And you would think that he had just run through our neighborhood naked because he was vilified. And I was reading some of the comments in the Twitter sphere about it today. And it was like, all he was doing was making a legal observation. It wasn't anything I thought controversial.
And well, the controversy is this is about Trump and they hate Trump. So even when it's you and Scott Peterson, you're explaining that every citizen has the right to competent counsel and they're going, what are you doing? And it's like, intellectually, can they not wrap their mind around this concept that people are legal and constitutional scholars and they're processing and calling balls and strikes, and that you don't like the person that they're defending, that's your basis on whether he gets invited to the next 92Y speaking engagement, 92Y?
Or the clam bake in Martha's Vineyard. And I have seen him when Alan is kind of impassioned about a subject. This wasn't even that impassioned.
Heard him interviewed on Dennis Prager. He was disinvited from a long family friend's daughter's wedding because other guests objected to him being there.
It's wild. I mean, it's just wild. It reminds me, many, many years ago, I represented the wife of a local politician who was charged with some crime, and Like the next day, Paulette was disinvited from some of her things in Pasadena. And it was just, it was mind boggling to me. Me, on the other hand, I said, oh, this is great. I don't have to go to these stupid things anymore. This is the greatest. I would have taken your case for free if I'd known I could get out of these junior league things. So, Jesus.
So Berenson was this sort of New York kind of lefty, wrote for the New York Times, and he was all
fine. Thank you for bringing it back.
Yes, he was all fine until he started. He wrote a book about how pot may be dangerous for young teenage boys, and then the left got angry.
And then he went, and if I'm not mistaken, Gary, didn't he also violate the orthodox, the COVID orthodoxy as well?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was early and often with the COVID.
And, by the way, most of the stuff, if memory serves, that he wrote presaged exactly where the community went.
Yes, that's where I was able to figure out everything before Fauci and Rochelle Walensky and Biden, because I was just listening to him going, he was about 3 months ahead of everything.
Exactly. It was an early warning system. And now he had to sue to get back onto Twitter, which is interesting to me because it comes full circle to the argument they used to use. They want to use sword and shield about, okay, you can't sue us because we're just a platform. But then when they leave that kind of area or sweet spot of being a platform and start censoring, they don't want to get sued. So it was an interesting kind of a thread the needle. But the last story before we go.
And I think they settled with him.
They did. He's back on, I believe, isn't he?
Does that constitute settled?
Yeah, I think that anything that is a resolution that one side has to do something is my definition of settlement. Right, Gary?
Well, also, he's compelled to not say anything besides a very specific statement that he made. So that means there were terms to their agreement. So
money change hands?
Oh, I would imagine that at the very least, attorney's fees were exchanged. Yeah. We got to take care of the lawyers.
He was certainly seeking financial.
But I wonder if there's any guesstimates about what that would cost.
I'll get into the weeds and come back with an informed opinion on that. The last thing, and we're going to tease this, Gary had put something out yesterday. Gary and I did a show that at the time I thought only would have very local appeal.
Adam had a very interesting local interaction around that show.
Mm-hmm.
Describe it.
I was at the Natalia's volleyball game, sitting next to a La Cunada mom, and she brought it up. She brought up the realtor, and whose name escapes me. Or I can't pronounce it.
Yeah. Kobayashi.
I was at the Japanese food place two doors down a day earlier looking at this Ferrari that was parked in the guy's.
Yeah, because he does the cars and coffee. That's why we did that. Pedos and pedestrians, and we apparently came under the scrutiny of YouTube.
YouTube didn't like that.
Yeah, they didn't like. Do you know they sent out a survey about our title?
Really?
Whether people, guys were tweeting at us that apparently YouTube, because Cars and Coffee is something he's done for many years there in the parking lot in La Cunada. So we called it Pedos and Pedestrians. And apparently that was, pedo is fighting words.
So he was a highly
realtor in La Cunada.
In our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And maybe a
prolific advertiser, prolific
pillar of the community. And he was accused of molestation
and went to trial. And by the way, this tape, Gary's got it. I don't know if you've heard this.
Listen to the Sunday Pedos and Pedestrians episode if you want to hear the full tape. It's several minutes long, but we decided to shorten it up for this show.
Yeah.
Went to trial.
Yeah. Went to trial in Burbank, right around the corner here. Lost spectacularly. $24 million total. It was a 9-3 verdict.
Mm-hmm. Civil.
I talked to the lawyer, but this tape figured prominently in the case.
I'm telling you, one chance, my father, she, Anna, Buddy, come on, Mr. Aron. I'm telling you.
Amuri Haji, deny it. Haji, deny it.
They told us detail by detail. They're not lying. They're adults. They know exactly what happened to them.
They are not lying.
So fucking them in the ass is not what happened.
I did not fuck up with you, command, in the ass.
Yes, you did.
I did not.
Okay, then you fucked your own son. You fucked your own son. You're blood.
Listen. I made a huge mistake. I'm telling you. I made a huge mistake.
Yeah, see, that's what we would call...
Is that the ex-wife?
No, she's current wife. She is current wife. So the voices on there, Mike is the one who's saying, I made a huge mistake. The woman is his wife, who doubles as his first cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys who she's accusing him of fucking in the ass are her little brothers.
Mm.
So she married her first cousin, and then the older gentleman is his uncle. Because he married his first cousin, his wife is the daughter and the sister of the two fuckies, alleged, and the grandfather. And so that's the tape. That was not a good tape. It's not a good fact during the trial. But the jury awarded Armo Foreperson, right, Gary?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm. Awarded $12 million in change to each of them. And... this has become – so go to you. That episode we do on Sunday, all of a sudden it – La Cunada is on fire over this. I can't go anywhere in La Cunada.
The hairdresser lady on Foothill. She rents. Your property.
Right.
She's telling me all about it. I was basically explaining to her that I was either such a supreme narcissist or not a narcissist that I really don't have time for discussing all the machinations of what people are doing to everyone in the neighborhood. But she labeled me a newbie. You know, she's like, you've only been here for a few years. You got to get involved. It's all the buzz.
It's like nothing I've ever seen. Gary and I usually have, you know, thousands of views. This thing dropped, and there's like over 12,000 views last time I saw it. It's all anybody wants to talk about. I'm getting tips from neighbors about things. But ironically, she's in Beirut now. She says she's going to call in on Sunday's Beyond a Reasonable Doubt.
Wife? Neighbor?
The wife.
Attorney? I thought Gary said the attorney.
No, the wife. The attorney called Mark and offered an exclusive interview with the wife, who is on that call being very angry, but has since come back around.
And testified for him in the trial. And
wow.
So, yeah, we said we have some questions. You have any questions?
Do you have a sister? Is she younger? I was looking at that lot off of
oh, my God.
I mean, this is a strong woman.
Yeah, very.
Supportive.
Very, very supportive. Don't you?
Wow.
I mean, you know, there's one
so
thing.
So is he going to be able to pay this off?
No, I don't think that there's any way possible he's going to pay this off. I mean,
if he's a super successful realtor.
Well, the other rumor going around, and I'll ask his wife, is the other rumor is that they've diverted assets. There's all kinds of accusations about that he's hiding assets. People were sending me pictures of his house with the two pods in front of it that he had supposedly fled, and that they're all in Beirut right now. And the rumor is they're not coming back. Well, we'll have her answer those questions.
When
you're
going to
get besieged. When are you going to...
The neighborhood women.
Oh, the neighborhood women are going to... You know, this is your ground zero for this.
I get it. How does...
You can't get thrown in jail for... This case came about...
How does extradition work on a civil...
You can't get it. So all you can do is get writs of attachment against their... assets. The problem they've got, and I'll also talk to her about this if she calls in, if you want to appeal, generally, unless the judge does something otherwise, you got to put up a bond. So you got to post a $24 million plus a percentage bond.
Right. So he can leave the country and not
he
pay,
left the
but
country
he, can't,
before.
He can't take real estate with him.
Correct. So
interesting.
And if he liquidates, and I mean, it's a very disturbing story on a number of levels. Who knows where it's at, but we will find out.
You want to put a bid in on that 488 Ferrari he's got parked in the lobby?
I was going to say, you want to split?
Office?
You want to split?
All right, shotgun with you anytime. Because there is a Ferrari.
A gorgeous Ferrari.
I was there 5 days ago. I was sitting in there.
We'll have to run the plate and see who owns it.
All right, let me hit Cerebral. Psychiatrist visits can cost up to $500 per session, and traditional therapy can be over $100. Yeah, that's for 50 minutes. It adds up to thousands a year. Cerebral Online, mental health service that offers prescription medication, counseling, and therapy for anxiety, depression, ADHD, insomnia, and more. One of the few services that provides prescription medication online through a licensed provider and ships meds straight to your door. Unlimited messaging with your care team. Connect with your counselor and therapist on your own schedule through your laptop or Cerebral's mobile app. Simone Biles is their chief impact officer, who went through a few little situation herself at the Olympics. You guys remember that? She's a huge advocate for reducing stigma around getting treatment at Cerebral. Right, Gary?
Listeners of this program can receive 65% off your first month of medication management and care counseling at GetCerebral.com/doubt. Go to GetCerebral.com/doubt for 65% off your first month. That's just a total of $30 to get started. Join Cerebral today on their mission to make quality mental health care accessible and affordable for all.
All right, you can go to AdamCarolla.com. There's live shows coming up, Salt Lake City, Austin, Texas, San Diego, Tucson, Arizona. Let's go to AdamCarolla.com for all that. And the new book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. Enjoy it. People tell me how funny it is. What do you got, Mark?
Well, I'm going to make a big plug for Jake at Dirty Taco. Stop by there. Yesterday, he had beef cheek taco. Beef cheek taco. Rave reviews. And apparently, the grandma Korean style steak taco.
Is that his partner?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
All right. Don't miss out on any of that. Until next time, Sam Crawler for Mark Hardout Garriga saying mahala.
Thanks for listening to Reasonable Doubt. Tune in next Saturday for an all new episode. This is Corolla Digital.
Would you love to save some money on your insurance? Of course you would. And who doesn't love a deal? When it comes to great rates on insurance for everything, Geico can help. Insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, RV, even your homeowners, condo, or renter's insurance. They are all covered with Geico. Save even more with special discounts when you bundle coverages together. Plus, they have an easy-to-use Geico mobile app and 24/7 roadside assistance, so it's easy to switch to Geico. It's a no-brainer. Switch today and see just how much you could save at geico.com. Go there and get a rate quote or contact a local agent.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.
Hi, everyone. This is Jillian with Court Junkie. Court Junkie is a true crime podcast that covers court cases and criminal trials using audio clips and interviews with people close to the cases. Court Junkie is available on Apple Podcasts and PodcastOne.com.